T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's one of them mornings.
One, two, pitch.
One of them mornings where you can start with just about anything. Did I step on Josh Donaldson's home run? Did I do that right? Did I make a mistake from the first three? All right, play it. Orin Romain, technical director, play Josh Donaldson for me.
And the 1-2 pitch. Tomahawk down the left field line. That's near the pole. That ball is going to be gone. It's a home run for Josh Donaldson. A high, towering, majestic shot that somehow stayed fair. Ground ball up the middle. That's going to sneak through for a hit. That's going to score two. Freddie's going to go first to third. It's a one-run game. Braves are not dead. Donaldson with a 4-RBI game.
Before I stepped on that, I was about to say that you could go a lot of different directions. What a busy Thursday it's going to be on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. There is so much going on in town, including the Braves returning for a key series against the Washington Nationals. We'll recap a tough loss last night. They rallied and came up short. You have Atlanta United. You've got the rookies reporting for the Falcons today, and on and on and on. Hugh, what up?
Good morning. Good morning, Atlanta. How's everybody doing? Hope you had a wonderful winning in its day. Hope your winning this day was wonderful, and I hope your Thursday is wonderful as well.
Yeah, you know, it's a really big day. The British Open is underway already as we speak at 6:02 in the morning, and if you bet on Rory McIlroy, who was the favorite in his home country, you might have already lost. Man, Rory came out and yeah, he had a quadruple bogey on the very first hole, and he's like nine strokes behind after three holes. Whew. Got a lot of room to make up. Tiger tees off, by the way, at a little after 10 o'clock this morning. We'll get into that later on. But let's begin with the lead headline. And all these headlines this morning, it's got to be the Braves, who are at home tonight, back for the first time in 10 days as they open a key series against the Washington Nationals with Julio Teheran taking on Steven Strasburg. And last night, you Braves end up losing. Boy, it's been a minute since they lost a series. It's been a long time.
Yeah. It was kind of tough last night, but you look at the series they had. Bryce Wilson only gave you 4 innings, got hit 6 hits. I think he gave up 3 runs or something like that. I was looking at the box score. Tough night last night, but you got the Nationals coming into town. Don't have too much time to worry about it, John. Just got to go get it done. Now the Nationals are the team that I look at that could potentially be your nemesis as we get further and further into the second half of the season.
Well, if the Phillies are going to throw in the white towel like it was indicated that their team president, Andy McPhail, might do, I think you're absolutely right about that. I mean, we'll see what happens with the race, but it is the Nationals tonight. They're seeing huge crowds Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at SunTrust Park. One of the things we don't really know yet is what the Braves' rotation is going to be for this series, because Dallas Keuchel pitched yesterday, didn't have quite as great an outing as he's had in the past. But then again, the bats were really quiet until the seventh inning. Man, and Hugh, they had chance after chance. They were getting nothing, you know. And then they get the bases loaded with Ronald Acuna up, and he had a bad at bat and struck out. Couldn't get anything going. Donaldson hits a 2-run home run. We say, hey, they're on the board. And then suddenly in the ninth inning, they had the winning run at the plate and almost pulled that thing out, but couldn't quite do it. So now they get the Nationals. You've got Teheran, Soroka, and then we don't know. You can't use Keuchel. You can't obviously use Freed's on the injured list. I guess you use Bryce Wilson. Do you use Sean Newcomb? What do you do? I mean, you're kind of dinged up when it comes to starting pitchers.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you're in a bad spot right now, but you have to do something. We were talking about the other day that you potentially could put Keuchel out there. What is it, on 3 days rest or something like that? That could potentially be the case.
All right, so the Braves got some good news. Both Washington and Philadelphia lost last night, so the Braves will start this series 6.5 games ahead of the Washington Nationals. We'll get more into that coming up. Last night, Atlanta United, a much-needed win against Houston in a weird game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, a game where a lot of Houston stars were missing, some of Atlanta United stars were missing, and 6 minutes in, the biggest star for Houston gets a red card and is kicked out of the game, and Houston has to play shorthanded the rest of the way, and Atlanta United swamped them and beat them 5-0, as they should when they are playing a team shorthanded for 84 minutes. It's that red card that changed everything, and Hugh Albert Ellis of Houston, their big star, gets a yellow and then bumps the ref and gets a red. But when I say he bumped the ref, Hugh, there's bumping the ref, and there's, like, I don't know, breathing on him.
Yeah, but you can't disrespect the ref. And the ref looked like, you know, he was a little nervous when he rolled up on him. It was a little bit of a brush. And after it happened, the ref tried to, you know, well, the player tried to, you know, pull it back. It was too late by then. I mean, the damage had already been done. You can't touch the refs, man. Bottom line, you cannot touch the refs.
No, you can't touch the refs. And, you know, and you're right. And that's the rule, and that's the red, and I get all that. And I'm not trying to – he touched the ref. But if you haven't seen it, when you were a kid, remember, you used to – if you had a sibling, you would play this game where you would stick your finger out, and it'd be like the bratty little kid would go, I'm not touching you. Mommy's touching me. I'm not touching you. I'm not touching – I mean, that it was – I mean, they make it seem like it's a line driving the box score, like he hammered the ref or pushed it. I mean, he barely brushed him. I mean,
yeah, but
barely.
You can't disrespect the refs. You can't disrespect the refs. That's the bottom line. You cannot disrespect the refs.
So the five stripes. You know, through all of this, through all of the incredibly bad and difficult things that Atlanta United has been through, through all the injuries and all the tired legs and all the everything. Do you know that after last night, they're in second place?
I mean, I've been saying that since we've been talking about Atlanta United, John. It's like you look at the hand that they've been dealt. It's been a pretty bad hand as far as some of the things that they had to do, the way that the schedule has shaked out for them. And they're still in a good spot. The injuries that they've had and the fact that Frank DeBoer really hasn't had a whole lot of time to implement his style of play, they're not a bad spot. But it's just been tough. And to their credit, you know, if you wanted to, there's a lot that they could complain about, but they're not doing that. They're not doing that at all. And you know, to their credit, they're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, they are in a pretty good spot in second place as they get ready to continue this homestand as they will face DC United on Sunday in a 4:00 kick in a game you can hear on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. Well, we mentioned there's a lot going on in the sports world. Braves are back home. United wins last night. Today is the first day that rookies report for the Atlanta Falcons. Now, it's a reporting date. It's not a begin date. That's next Monday. But nonetheless, there are players in camp today for the Atlanta Falcons. Woo-hoo! And you get ready for football. Here we come. Because you want to talk about it coming now? Here's the day the rookies report. I'm all excited about this. I mean, rookie reporting day. And look at me. Hey, John, rookie reporting day. I don't know. It just means something to you, doesn't it?
It just means that football's right around the corner. They'll probably sit in there and get a little bit more classroom work than the average guy. Well, than the veterans. And they'll get a chance to get a little bit of a jump on the playbook. Get a little bit of a chance to get a jump on the install before the veterans report. Get some chance to get some good work in, some good solid work in before everybody else comes in and you start, you know, putting people into groups like first team, second team, and third team and whatever. So it's going to give them an opportunity just to get in there and get that extra work and potential if they potentially need it.
All right, tell me you don't have something to talk about today when we get into it at 404-741-0929. Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line, 404-741-0929. Of course, always on our Twitter, at 929 The Game. This is one of those games days where, you know, producers like Abe Gordon are stressed out a little bit because you've got, you know, where do you go? You go, okay, we got the Braves and they're playing Washington. We got to respond to Atlanta United's 5-0 win last night. And you have the British Open underway. You know, Tiger going to be playing. That's something we'll talk about, obviously. And then, of course, you have the rookies reporting. Then you have Deion Jones. Now, Deion has a deal done here. And Drew Rosenhaus, your old agent, is now Deion's agent, and I know 100 other players, shows up yesterday, and we were talking about whether or not they were going to be, you know, where they were in negotiations. Well, I guess they were pretty far along. I guess they were pretty close.
Yeah, I was talking to Abe about this morning, John. It's just it's kind of weird how, you know, I mean, you think about the deal that Grady just did. That took a long time. That there was a lot of layers to that. There was a lot of speculation. There was a lot of stories about that. And, you know, we got the deal done. Drew Rosenhouse comes in for one day, and deal's done. And I think I said that earlier in the week. I said, if Drew's coming to town, there's some money to definitely be made. There's something potentially going to happen. And they got it done. I thought it was fairly quick. So it made me think that this is one of those things where the Falcons wanted to get all of this done so that they will have no distractions going into training camp. I would venture to say that Julio's next. Not so much of a distraction because Julio's already under contract and he already knows that he's going to get his money.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the Falcons getting all their pieces kind of in a row here as they get ready for training camp, which is Monday. And we do remind you that, again, coming up Monday, we're going to be broadcasting live from Flowery Branch beginning at 6 a.m. The doors open at 8:30 on Monday, the first of eight practices that are open to the public. And we encourage you to come on out if you've never been to Flowery Branch. It's really cool. And I had somebody, you know, send me a note yesterday asking me about, VIP access. I'm like, you'll have to call the Falcons about that. I can't help you with the VIP access. I can get you free. How about free? Free parking, free to go in. But then again, I can get everybody free because it is free. Free parking, free to get in, dollar hot dogs, dollar hamburgers, which, by the way, I should say the hamburgers for a buck are pretty darn tasty. Not that we haven't had a few of them in our day. They start cooking those things up, you and those dollar hamburgers, and we go, yeah, that's about to happen. It's really a neat event. And this year, you know, considering what's on the line and the expectations, you can expect pretty big crowds to be out of Flowery Branch.
There always is, man. It's always a great time. I tell you what, there's a family, young man, I can't think of the name right now, please forgive me. They listen to the show. And honestly, I've seen him grow up from a little boy to like a young man. And I'm kind of interested to see how he's going to look this year. And I apologize because I can't remember his name, but they know who I'm talking about because they came to the racetrack a few times. And just can't wait to see what he looks like now. It's always interesting to see when you see, like, since I've been here and you see the diehard Falcons fans at training camp and you see the little kids and how much bigger they've gotten over the summer. So that's going to be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun, of course. And we encourage you when you do come out, where the 99 in the game has the big set. Now, I don't know the setup this year, but usually we're like right across from the tent that's got all the gear in it and right next to where they sell all the hamburgers and hot dogs and all that kind of stuff. Just come on over, say hi, you know, and love to meet you and shake your hand and all that kind of good stuff. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Falcons as they get ready to go on training camp. What does it mean that Deion, you touched on it, but what does it mean that Deion is now in the fold? Because I think there's a lot to kind of unpack here. Deion's got a deal done. What about the other Jones guy? And what does it mean for the Falcons over the next few years? It's on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on a very, very busy Thursday. And, yes, we're keeping our eyes on the British Open. What does it mean for the Falcons that Deion's done after a CBS Sports Minute?
First and 20 for Breeze. Straight drop. Looks. And again, deflected. Deion Jones has done it again. 20, 15. He's by Breeze at the 10 and inside the 5. The young man from New Orleans just simply haunts this team.
I don't really think about that, to tell you the truth. Just a matter of just enjoying the time that we had together and the connection that we made through ball. We really believe in the brotherhood, and the time I have with these guys has been great so far, and I don't want it to end.
That's Deion Sanders last month talking about the potential and future of the Atlanta Falcons pre the contract that he got yesterday that makes him a wealthy young man. A four-year, $57 million deal for number 45 with $34 million guaranteed. So the Atlanta Falcons, welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh. Get ready for the veterans to report on Sunday, and then camp officially opens on Monday morning in Flowery Branch. And Hugh, you have a couple of deals done in the space of about 24 hours, and Grady Jarrett and Deion Jones is settling in. For all the focus on your offense in the offseason, here you focus on two of the biggest, maybe the two most key components of your defense, and you lock them in.
Yeah, and it happened real quick. You got it done before the season starts, man. So that tells me that, you know, you're serious about, you know, your guys, number one. And number two, you don't want any distractions. You want to get ready for this Super Bowl run. I know nobody's going to say that, but I'm saying it. You know, when you get deals done at this juncture and with this kind of speed, that says to me, like, listen, we don't want any distractions. We don't want anybody crying about no money. We want you to go out there and play football. And so with that being said, you got to expect big things from the Atlanta Falcons this season. I mean, that was always a given, but, you know, now with all of this done and Julio getting done, yeah, you just got to go out there and play football.
Well, I think it's very clear. You're right. I mean, I don't know if they'll win the Super Bowl this year, but I think that that's certainly – I mean, yes, everybody's intent when they go to campus to win. All 32 teams when they show up in the next week or so are going to be talking about winning the Super Bowl. But for the Atlanta Falcons to make all of these changes that they did to entirely overhaul their coaching staff and to not go with the young, hot kind of new coordinator, the Zach Taylor, you know, the Matt LaFleur, and we like Matt a lot, but for that coaching tree – that comes out of, emanates out of, you know, this young coaching tree that everybody says, oh, you got to get the Sean McVay coaching tree. The Falcons went the other way and with the intention of a Super Bowl run because their window is still open. We went to Mike Mularkey. We went to Dirk Cutter. You got Raheem Morse. You got a lot of guys who are head coaches in the NFL. I mean, you went to experienced coaches on this staff and three new coordinators, all with the intent of fixing what you had to fix, locking in what you had to lock in. All three have been accomplished here. Now you just get healthy with the intent of winning a Super Bowl this year, Hugh, and nothing less.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it feels like, John. I mean, you know, going into certain seasons, I remember guys would have contract disputes and things of that nature, and, you know, that would be something that would drag out for a long period of time. But the Falcons have done, in essence, has made it clear that, listen, we don't want any distractions on this team. We just want to go out and play football, and we want to put ourselves in the best possible position to be a Super Bowl contender at the end of the season.
I'm thinking in Mr. Blank's world, Hugh, that life is 4 years, okay? Life is 4 years. That's kind of the window they're looking at. You look at Matt Ryan's age, you look at the deal that they just gave Grady, 4 years, the deal they gave Deion, 4 years. Ryan's age, whatever the extension is for Julio, is going to probably be up to and including 4 years. I think they're saying right now this current Super Bowl window with this team as constructed, 4 years. Now,
that's a given, John. Right? I mean, you know, you look at the age of all these guys on this team. I mean, even the average fan knows that. It's no secret. And it is no secret that if you're Arthur Blank and you're the Falcons brain trust, that you feel like that's your window. Because in 4 years, we're renegotiating Matt Ryan's contract. Not saying he's not going to be here, but there's probably going to be some renegotiation as far as, you know, trying to move some money around and make his hit a little bit more cap-friendly. Julio Jones, don't know where his game's going to be at in 4 years. Safe to say he's at the pinnacle right now, but, you know, nobody outruns Father Time. And you're talking about Grady Jarrett, got a four-year deal. He's going to be on the cusp of being 30 when his deal is up. So, yeah, this is the prime time to make a run. Prime time to make a run.
Yeah, the four-year window, the Super Bowl window, which opened a couple of 3 years ago, is still open. And Mr. Blank's saying, okay, we'll give this a good four-year run here, and let's get these guys locked down. And you're right. We're going to clear the decks. We're going to take away all the distractions. Now the question becomes about Julio. You know, you were talking earlier about Julio, Hugh, and whether or not – because here's what we don't know. With Grady done and with Deion done, we don't know when Julio's going to get done and whether or not that will be – any sort of a distraction at all. I don't know.
I don't think so. If they haven't got it done by now, John, I'm pretty sure Julio's confident, like he said, that he's going to get his money. So it's not like that's one thing that we don't even have. I don't have to speculate about is whether or not Julio's going to be at camp and whether or not Julio's going to give 120%. I know that's unrealistic. I know some people get mad about that. But still, he's going to be there to give everything that he has to make this season a great season. As I say that, the people that irritates them, like I work with two people that irritates them so much. Uh-huh. when I say 110% or 120%, because they're like, that's not realistic. You can only give 100%. Okay, well, how about this one? He's prepared to do more.
Good tie-in, right? He's prepared to, all right, to the Georgia Bowl. Okay, I got you. Yeah, so this is Deion. What do we expect out of Deion Jones? Now, injured last year, came back, and we saw, Hugh, in the final three games where, you know, they're 4-9, they've just lost five games in a row, Deion comes back, and suddenly they win their last three games, and Deion is central to those three wins. We talk about impact players on this team, Matt Ryan, of course, Grady Jarrett, Julio Jones. Do we diminish sometimes the impact that 45 has on this club?
You don't, but his job is predicated on how well they do up front. And I think that's where we kind of get lost, because we always talk about every day on this show and in general how the game is won and lost in the trenches. But what Deion has been able to do since he's been here, he's a revolutionary linebacker. And what I mean by that is, you look at the linebackers in the past. As a matter of fact, I'll give you one that everybody knows readily, Ray Lewis. Deion Jones and Ray Lewis' body types are two totally different body types.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at what Deion Jones is now, he's more of the hybrid type safety in the box slash linebacker, you know, big enough that he can take the run on if need be. He can drop back into coverage and he can run up the seam with the tight end. He's the evolution of the linebacker spot. I never forget it, man, when it was me, Wes. I think you were out there, Dave Archer. And I remember Wes telling me, Wes Durham. He's like, Hugh, look at those linebackers. He said, ain't no Jeremiah Trotters out there. He said something to that effect. He said, this is, look how different these guys look nowadays. And when he said that, it really made me open my eyes and look at how the linebacker position is being played nowadays. Bottom line is this. You have to be versatile in this NFL. And at that spot, you have to be able to do more than just come downhill and blow up the run. You have to be able to cover. And Deion Jones is that guy. He could do all of that.
You know, it's interesting to me. You're absolutely right. But it's also interesting to me that, you know, in this day and age of football, you know, it used to be the old school football back in the 60s and 70s. And the reason I'm going back to that is to explain to you, the stars on defense were always the middle linebacker, okay? It was Ray Nitschke. It was Dick Butkus. It was Tommy Nobis. It was the middle linebacker. The whole defense worked around the middle linebacker, who was essentially, at that point, the quarterback on the field for the defense. And maybe we don't give enough credit to the middle linebacking position, even in this day and age, and even in the way they play the game, Hugh, as to the importance of a middle linebacker, not just in his athletic ability or being a hybrid guy, but in his ability to help kind of set the defense and set the tone.
Well, that's kind of changed a little bit, John, because the defense that I played in, you know, the linebacker made most of the calls, but the safety was the one that had the better vantage point when you talk about being able to see the whole field. You know, you look at Rico Allen and what he's been to this team and just knowing the defense, that's what really hurt you last year. You knew when he went down. I mean, Deion was just as important, but when Rico went down, it was one of those things where you knew it was going to be tough to get guys lined up. You knew it was going to be tough when you had to make those on-field adjustments, when you had guys out there that didn't really, you know, they weren't used to making those, being in those positions, so that really hurt you. But to your point, yeah, the middle linebacker, as being that guy that's coming downhill that can readily recognize if it's run or pass, and then still get in position to make the play, or you know, be in position for when they try to get hit him with something quick over the middle. Very, very important guy to have on the squad.
And nobody, I mean nobody on this defense is even remotely close to Deion Jones when it comes to big playability. And he has been. He saved the game with that leaping interception in the end zone against the Saints. He took one back to the house against that. Deion Jones is a big-time playmaking linebacker. You talk about his ability to be kind of a half linebacker, half safety in the middle of that defense and what he means, and that's why we go back to the last three games and suddenly, you know, the Falcons, he settled the defense down. So having him in the fold, and there's no question, you know, somebody said, you know, yesterday, well, what about his health? Again, it's not like he didn't play at the end of the year. I guess if he was coming off injury and we didn't know, sort of like maybe a little bit like Keanu or Rico, but he played the last three games and he played at full speed. He's fine, okay? So we're all excited here. So for all the you know, emphasis on the coaches first, and then all the emphasis in the draft and in free agency for the most part on the offense to fix that line, right? Now comes the defense's time to get a little bit of love, and what they're doing is locking that defense in, and I think this is all good
love,
news.
Love, they better get some, make some plays. I mean, hell, you like last year, everybody talked about how much money you put on that offensive side of the ball.
Uh-huh.
Hell, defense got paid in this offseason.
Right.
Some defensive players got some cheddar. Hell, y'all better come to play. You better earn your keep.
And by the way, Abe, I think, pointed it out, Abe Gordon, the producer, that with the, and I agree, you, that the Grady deal and the Deion deal, pretty team friendly. You know, so that's a good thing too. They're good for both sides, by the way. It's not the players didn't get ripped off. They're just good for both sides. Braves get set for the Washington Nationals in a huge series that opens at SunTrust Park. And what does this blowout mean win for Atlanta United? We'll talk about what happened last night with the two teams that are in the middle of a chase for a title. Next on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
And running up to it to clear it is McNamara. He turns it over to Nagby. Nagby comes forward. Ahead it goes now to Hyndman. Hyndman over to Gressel, right side of the box. Back to the spot. Nagby! Score!
We'll just kind of keep assessing it. Whatever decision, you know, the coaching staff makes of kind of how we play and how we approach games, I'll stand behind that 100%.
Julian Gressel talking about being behind Frank DeBoer. Julian last night scores a goal. Julian last night also becomes the first ever Atlanta United player to appear in 100 Atlanta United games. Welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the Game from the Kia Studios on what is a loaded, packed, jam-packed Thursday. And, of course, the Atlanta United taking advantage, as you heard Tanitra talk about, of Houston star player Albert Ellis going out 6 minutes into the game for bump of the referee and playing shorthanded, and Atlanta United exposed Houston and beat them 5-0. A couple of people will say, well, Houston played without Ellis, and that's really what changed the game.
Yeah, it did. But, hey, listen, a win is a win.
A win's a win.
And, you know, as many goals as you scored and Bragozon got a clean sheet, hey, you take what you get, man. I mean, especially when, you know, you're going into this game, a lot of people felt a little some kind of way about it. You know, we talked about it on the air a little bit, you know, with all the injuries in it you had and the fullbacks. You had some fullbacks. Everybody was hurt at that position. Dog. People weren't saying it, but they're like, oh, I don't know about this one. And for it to go the way that it did, hey, man, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Just take the W. Take that W and keep it moving. Get healthy.
And Atlanta United, for 10 men, there was a game earlier this year where they had an advantage, a 10-man advantage for a long time and couldn't take advantage of it. All right? So, I mean, just because you have a man advantage doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be able to take advantage of it. And Atlanta United did last night in that 5-0 run. As mentioned, they moved back into second place. And now DC United coming into town on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. And Atlanta United moves ahead of DC United and behind only Philadelphia Union in the East. And yes, Atlanta United played last night. Matter of fact, they were so shorthanded last night. This is the other thing. Talk about it, I mean, in terms of total bodies available here, that they ended up putting a player named Mo Adams. They just traded for this guy, Hugh, named Mo Adams. He doesn't even practice with the team. They trade for him, they put him in a uniform, and they put him in the game.
Stuck him out there. Go get out there, Mo.
Go get out there.
He just got there a couple hours earlier, and now he out there playing. I mean, but that's the position that they're in. And, you know, I mean, to have him play like that and not even have any time for practice, that's kind of the situation that Atlanta United has been in all season long. I mean, let's be honest. They've been kind of under the gun, and they've been learning on the fly all season long. And for them to be doing that and not complaining about it, I might add, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah,
they're
in a good spot. All kind of you anxious to get Barco and Tito and Bello, those three guys, which we hear Mike Conley telling us, okay, they're all ready to go, but we haven't seen them yet, and we're all kind of anxious to get. You know, and Justin Merrim didn't play last night. I think that was probably just a rest situation because we've got so many big games coming up. But it will be really interesting down the stretch for me to see Atlanta United, because Barco's now finally game healthy. Tito's finally game healthy. Bello's finally game healthy. Yeah, you're still missing some guys like Kratz and Ambrose, but those three are game healthy. And let's see what happens when you get those guys into the mix, because you go Barco, Tito, and Bello to go with, you know, in some form or fashion, you know, when Merrim and Petey didn't play, you know, you got Petey and you got Joseph, and, you know, Petey hadn't been playing all that great. We see if he can, you know, if he can, you know, get his game going too. And so there's a lot of weapons. I mean, if you get healthy and throw all your weapons out there, they're going to be, I tell you this, I don't know if they're going to win the cup this year again, Hugh. I can't know with everything that's gone on. But if you're another team in Major League Soccer, you're pretty wary of these guys.
Yeah, when they get healthy. I mean, for them to weather the storm the way that they have had to all season long and to be in a position at the end, you got to think that once they get guys healthy and they get up to game speed, that they will be a team that's very, very formidable. No question about that.
And again, Atlanta United will take on DC United in another critical match of the teams that are second and third right behind Philadelphia Sunday at 4 o'clock. Our coverage begins at 3:30 Sunday, live on the home of the Five Stripes, Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Now, to the Braves. Tonight, Washington. Big pitching matchup. Julio Teheran against Steven Strasburg at SunTrust Park. 4-game set against the Nationals. Braves lost kind of a bit of a heartbreaker yesterday in that they were down 5-0, and they kept rallying back into the game. They get back into the game, make it 5-2 with a Donaldson home run. which was kind of a, I don't know, was that a weird home run or what? It looked like it was a pop-up, and it just kept going, and it went into the second deck. It was like, okay, Josh, you're pretty strong. Then Donaldson again in the ninth with that two-run single. He drove in all four runs. You had the bases loaded in the seventh, couldn't get anything. You got the bases all, you know, full of Braves kind of going everywhere in the ninth inning, and you couldn't quite get over the hump, and you lose back-to-back games to Milwaukee. But the good news on that is that both Philadelphia and Washington lost yesterday, so you didn't lose any ground.
Yeah, but you know what's funny about that home run that Josh hit? Tyler Flowers kind of hit one the same way the other day. The other day in the series that they lost, when he hit one, and it just kind of went over the fence, and everybody, oh, Tyler Flowers just hit a home run. So, yeah, it was just a weird day for baseball. And unfortunately, they didn't get the win yesterday. But you got this series coming up against the Nationals, who I've said – that they're probably going to be the team that you're probably going to be contending with. I thought Phillies would be in that mix as well. Still a possibility that they can do that. But, yeah, this one coming up with the Nationals is going to be huge.
And for Washington, the pressure is kind of on a little bit in the sense that they've got to start, you know, they lost yesterday to the Orioles. That's kind of a tough loss. When the Braves lose and then you have a chance to make up another game and you kind of let one go to the worst team in baseball, that's a bit of a moment for the Washington Nationals. I don't think you can trade baskets with the Braves if you're the Nationals. Hugh, you can't do it. You've got to make some hay, especially head-to-head. Washington's got to be coming to Atlanta thinking, we need to take 3 out of 4.
Of course they are. They're thinking that you know, I think the last time they were here, they had a pretty good outing when they were in town. So they're thinking that, you know, they got a little bit of a surge. They're going to try to gain some ground this weekend, no question about that. And it's going to be up to the Braves to make sure that they quell those aspirations real, real quick.
Yeah, a couple of notes about this series. One is that both teams are missing star pitchers. Max Fried, of course, has his blister. He's on the IL. Washington's going to be without Max Scherzer. He's on the IL with what they're calling a mild back sprain. So we're going to have to monitor that. A mild sprain in your back, you know, is that a big deal? Is it a worse deal? And, you know, Scherzer's, you know, Strasburg included, Scherzer's their number one starter. Let's be cool, because healthy, Max Scherzer may be the best pitcher in baseball. So we'll keep our eyes on that. And the Braves don't really know so much what their rotation is. We've got Julio Teheran and Mike Soroka, but Dallas Keuchel's not available for this series, pitched yesterday. Max Fried not available for this series. He's on the IL. So I'm not really sure who they're going to throw out there. They could throw Bryce Wilson again, but we saw what happened the last time he pitched Bryce Wilson. Tukey hasn't been pitching well enough that I think he warrants a start. Sean Newcomb? I guess.
Yeah. I think Sean Newcomb probably be the odd man out in this situation. Well, in a good way, because he has some starting. You know, he was in the rotation early on, and he has done it before. So that probably be the guy that you probably want to go with in this situation.
Yeah, you're concerned at all about Austin Riley, about maybe getting him some rest or something. He's just not for as great as he saw the baseball.
We knew this was. You know, yeah. What's funny? We knew this was coming. We knew this. It just came a little bit later. I'm not that concerned about him. But you knew this was coming. It's funny how, you know, everybody was reveling about how he's adjusted to the pitches and everything. And he had, to a certain extent, to a certain point. And now he's hit a little bit of a rough patch. As far as giving him some rest, you might want to take him out the lineup for a little while. But still, as far as being concerned about him, talking about sitting him down, no, I don't think so.
Well, Austin hit 175 this month with 2 home runs. And it's like you just want to scream at him. Austin, lay off the doubt and away. That's all they're going to do to you. Just sit there and be a little bit more patient, you know? Make them come to you. You're going to be fine. He'll turn it around, and when he does, he'll start raking again. Trust me. We all know that. Well, smack talk at the SEC and ACC Media Days, but not amongst SEC teams or ACC teams, but amongst an ACC team and an SEC team. Guess which two? Yeah, you're right. Next, with John and Hugh on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92onthegame.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.